It is the most blatant partisan attack on gun rights I think I've seen in my lifetime, and I've seen a few, to say the least. But Letitia James, the Attorney General of the State of New York, filing a lawsuit against the National Rifle Association with the explicit intent to dissolve, to destroy the NRA between now and Election Day. It's a pretty obvious move by Democrats. I think they have an opportunity to destroy the oldest civil rights organization in the world when it comes to gun rights in America. But I think it's a self-inflicted wound. Millions of guns sold already this year. Joining me to talk about it, Steve Doolin, licensed attorney in Michigan and a professor at Western Michigan University's Cooley Law School, where he teaches gun law. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve.
Good to have you here. I was so formal there, Doolin. It makes me feel so formal. So here's the thing. 20 million guns sold in America so far this year, it seems, based on the National Shooting Sports Foundation. 40% of those folks are new gun buyers, first-time gun buyers. And to me, to go after the National Rifle Association is bad politics. It also might be just a bad lawsuit. What can you tell me about what you've read so far and your understanding of it?
Well, interestingly, it mentions criminal activity, but this is not a criminal prosecution. And you notice in a lot of the reporting, the word illegal is used. But this is a civil suit. And I think that might have been done for tactical reasons, because the burden of proof is lower in a civil suit than it is in a criminal suit. So in a criminal case, charges have to be proved beyond a reasonable doubt,
right?
Whereas in a civil case, we've got this preponderance of evidence standard, which is just more likely than not, is another way to say it. So it's an easier way to go for the prosecution, which in this case is this state attorney general.
So how do you prosecute, if you will, help me here, a civil case? Do you have prosecutors in a civil case? I thought it was attorneys, you know, for a plaintiff, for a defendant, but prosecutors in a civil case doesn't make sense to me. Help me out.
Well, I'm using the old-fashioned way, the way we say it in law school. You prosecute if you're a plaintiff also, right? So you're right. We generally use nowadays the term prosecutor for criminal cases. But when I say to prosecute a civil suit, what I mean is for the plaintiff to win or to try to win, right? Because the plaintiff in a civil suit has proof and the burden of going forward. Exactly right.
Fair enough. So let me ask you this. The National Rifle Association has more than 5 million members nationwide, worldwide. So how do you come out as the Attorney General of New York and try to dissolve an organization? Wouldn't that disenfranchise the 5 million members of the NRA around the world? Wouldn't that disenfranchise those that have paid their dues and done everything else? And the organization's been there since 1871. How can you actually do that?
Well, it's an extreme remedy, and what I haven't been able to find, and I'm not sure if anybody's been able to find, is how often this remedy actually is used successfully by attorneys general. What she's trying to do is say that the organization itself, the corporation, is a fraudulent enterprise, that it is so rife with corruption that it has to go away. Now, it is possible for an attorney general of a state where there's a corporation is homed. We call it domicile.
Right.
The domicile corporation in this case is the NRA. It's possible for an attorney general to say that the whole thing is a fraudulent or criminal enterprise, and therefore it has to be shut down. But in this case, the allegations are against, I think it's four specific individuals. And you raised the really salient point here, which is, how do you end an organization that has over 5 million dues-paying members, a lot of life members who paid for their entire lives to be members of this corporation and therefore are allowed to vote in elections, when you're really only talking about, if the allegations are true, by the way, and all the people involved deny them, most of the leadership of NRA denies them and says that these allegations are untrue and fraudulent. But even if they were true, ending the organization is an extreme remedy. But you have to realize, politically, this attorney general promised to try to do this before she was ever elected. So that casts a huge shadow over the investigation itself. It was tainted from the beginning with bias. because this was a campaign promise before she had access to any facts.
That's what I was going to say. How would she even know the facts of the case if she was not in office yet? And you just answered the question. She didn't have access to the facts. Steve Doolin here, professor at Western Michigan University's Cooley Law School, where he teaches firearms law. So let me ask you this, the political fallout. I mean, this is a naked attack on gun ownership and gun rights in America. That's the way I look at it. As a gun owner, I look at it as an attack on gun ownership, because even if you're not a member of the NRA, you know how important it is for the NRA to be out there. For people that I know that are gun owners, they know how important the NRA is, even if they're not members. They should be, but even if they're not, right? They get it.
Well, absolutely. In fact, the numbers I saw most recently on this issue are from a few years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. But not only does the NRA have 5 million members, but 20 to 25 million people claim to be members when surveyed. They just don't pay their dues. They self-identify as NRA members, if you will. And in fact, it was the majority of the voters in the majority of rural counties who say that they are NRA members, even though they might not pay their dues every year. And therefore, you know, you've only got you've got the free rider syndrome, where you've got about 5 million actual dues payers and 4 to 5 times as many people who identifies, claim to be, or they still have the sticker in their car from last year, that kind of thing.
Huge number.
So, you know, politically, huge number. And that's an active, these are active voters too. So, you know how they do the surveys, likely to vote?
Right.
People who self-identify as NRA members are far more likely to vote than a member of the general population.
I think this has big ramifications for the election in November. I do. 8 million new gun owners, first-time gun owners, circulating in America today. I think it's a big deal. Doolin, I always appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gruber.
There you have it.
Always a pleasure.
Professor Steve Doolin, if we're going to be a little bit more formal, Western Michigan University's Cooley Law School here on the program. Quick break. We'll be right back.